We turn to the well-known account of the birth of the Savior, Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read this morning from the King James Version of that wonderful, true Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, the first 14 verses. And let's ponder anew as we hear the old story of Jesus Christ, His birth, and the wonder of it all. Luke chapter 2, the very Word of God. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Thus far we read the sacred account, Luke chapter 2. May the Lord bless us as we read this wonderful word, wonderful message, the good tidings of great joy. Well, beloved, I start this sermon with a question. Do you or don't you? That is, do you or don't you Christmas? That is, do you or don't you celebrate Christmas? I'm aware that there are several of us in our midst, and I myself am including them on this, who have difficulty with Christmas. That is the culture's version of the celebration of the birth of this child and the wrapping of him in swaddling clothes and so on. So some of us struggle with whether we should give gifts, whether it should be on Christmas Day or some other day, or just forget the whole thing, even keep ourselves from church if it weren't on the Lord's Day especially. So we wrestle with these things and even try, or some folks even find scripture verses to say, well, we shouldn't learn the way of the heathen and cut a tree out of the forest and decorate it with tinsel and so on. And certainly Santa Claus and tracking him doesn't go over well with some of us. Well, beloved, of course we're here to unearth and be renewed in the real meaning of Christmas. Whether or not the world is celebrating its way or not, as true people of God in this Christian church and assembly who have the Bible open, we don't want to be hypocritical and add to it, take away from it, but we want to focus on the reason for the season. And I want to challenge all of you who may be new to these things about reasoning together from the Scripture and so on, at least to hear what the Scripture itself says of Christmas. And I want to suggest to us all that there's a very important way of learning whether we're celebrating our Christmas biblically or not. And that is this, that we get to know this one who's born and wrapped in swaddling clothes on a first name basis. And by first name, I don't mean Jesus. And I don't mean Christ, though those are names of him. But I'm referring to a first name that a prophet long ago gave of Jesus when he was announcing that unto the people would be born a son, and unto the people would be born and given a child. And then there's the revelation of his names. And the first name, that's Isaiah the prophet, is wonderful. Know that prophecy, don't you? Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born. His name shall be called Wonderful. First name. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But the first name, Wonderful. And I wonder, beloved, if we would simply get to know the Christmas story and the Christ of the story on a first name basis and think of him as Wonderful, if we really wouldn't be understanding, perhaps for a first time, what this child and this event is all about. And so I want us to understand the wonder of Christmas and then ask yourselves, am I wondering as I'm called to wonder about the wonder of Christmas? Or am I just interested in stores and the humanness about it and the human spirit? I believe the Bible is calling us to something far more. First name, acquaintance with Jesus, and the name especially, Wonderful. Now there's six or seven things I want us to think about. First of all, about this wonder. And then how the wonder gets to us. Long ago, there was an angel. And you can't say no and you can't ignore an angel. But how today? But then finally, the fruits of our worship and of our understanding and our reasoning from the Scriptures, if we truly be those who are getting what Christmas is all about. But now five, six, maybe seven things about this wonder. And the first thing is that when you look at this old story and you see Caesar Augustus, and there's names mentioned here, and Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, and then Jesus with Joseph and Mary. Let's not forget the identity of this one. Many people, even those who really like the Christmas story and they think they know Jesus on a first name basis, they want to pick him up and they want to cuddle him. And he seems very cuddly the way that he's pictured, this Jesus, meek and mild. Well, I want to remind you that he's God. This Jesus who's born is God with us. Isn't that amazing? Something that's forgotten in all the hoopla, in all the deals, the Black Fridays and the Glorious Mondays and so on. The wonder of God with us, elsewhere called Emmanuel, but just go with that first name. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God is with us. The Mighty God. And though mild he lay his glory by as we sing, nevertheless, he's God there. This is no wunderkind, some child that's born ordinarily and who is just like us, a child, maybe perhaps an example for us of what real humanness ought to be. This is God, more than just one of us, rather than just one of us, the one God. That's how the Bible describes this event in other places as well as this. This is God with us, the God with whom we have to do. And certainly then, this is not the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth wonder of the world here. But this one, whose name is Wonderful, is the God above the world. See? He's with us, but he's the God you really can't get your arms around. And if we would understand the first principle of Christianity and of this day and every day of our life, it is this. There is a God with whom we have to do. And though he appears in such humiliation, he's God with us. And that's why, folks, then we're worshiping. And we ought to be worshiping worshiping this child, eternal Son of God, now with us. But at the same time, of course, he's man. He's man. You have to get that wonder, too, of this thing called the incarnation. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh on Christmas Day. Really man. So, you see, when Jesus came into our time, it wasn't that he became or was and happened to be a little God, 20 inches long, 7 pounds, 3 ounces, God. No, he's really God and really man at the same time. Really God, eternal and infinite and glorious and great and greatly to be praised, and nothing limiting him at all. 20 inches long, 7 pounds, 3 ounces, give or take. That's it. That's something. Infinite God, 20 inches long. Infinite God, really man. And don't believe the carol. No crying he makes. He was an ordinary babe, weak and exposed to all of the weakness of our own humanity. Crying he made, if he were a real Son of Man. Yes, indeed. Oh, let's not schmaltz it over. He's God and he's man, really man. But he is, as the angel would say, this God who is man and not a little God or a fake man. God who is man at the same time, uniting the two natures, divine and human, in the one person of the Son, as we say theologically, who is the Savior. The angel says, here's the good news. Here's the great joy. He is Christ the Lord. He's the Savior. According to the promise, he is the Savior from sin. Okay, so there you have, briefly, the identity of this child. You getting that? Hearing that? This is what the Word of God says. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God with us. And then you think, okay, now I'm going to think, this is just for thinkers here, and the rest of you can bear with us. Metaphysically, there's a wonder here. Now, I'm talking about things of reality, things that describe reality. Now, I'm talking about this. How can the great God be so small? How can the infinite God be fit in the 20 inches and the 7 pounds, 3 ounces, and the mind, which is the brain of a man? That's what I'm talking, metaphysics. The things of reality. How can you describe God, the Bible says, is spirit. How can he have a body without there being compromise somewhere along the way? How can the God who's eternal step into time? How can the God who at another time revealed himself to the people of Israel as the I am that I am, now become something he wasn't? You see, there's problems here we have, not only metaphysically, but theologically. But the only explanation in light of the Word that says he's both God and man, and he is spirit, and he has flesh, and he is eternal, and he steps into time, the only explanation is this Word, that name. Wonderful. You get it? You see, Christmas is not for us to figure out everything, but to begin to wonder about the wonder. If it were, if we could get a handle on God and our arms around Jesus and just cuddle him and cuddle God, wouldn't that be like making God in our image? That's Santa Claus, you know. He's the God we always wanted. Lives somewhere up there in the North Pole. He's real. And he's going to reward us because we're pretty nice. At least we're not so naughty as our brother or sister. And we're sure he'll deliver. He'll get there. Well, God is not so cuddly, is he? But there's the wonder. That's what I want to leave with you as I quickly go on from metaphysics and theology to history. The wonder of history is here. So we have the wonder child, the wonder of this, how can it be, you know? And then the wonder of history. Look, you have here Caesar Augustus and all the world being taxed, but God working it all out to plan. It's His story. You see that? The Christmas story is His story. It's not our story. It's about something we make up. It's God's story, and we're just rehearsing it to you. We're just preaching it to you. We're just thinking upon His story. And He's working everything so that it comes to pass according to, well, His own word. That's the fourth wonder here, the prophecy of it all. It comes to pass, this birth of the Son of God incarnate, just as God said it would. Think of the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. Out of you, Bethlehem, you're little, but out of you, little town of Bethlehem, shall come Him whose goings forth have been from everlasting, or something like that, the prophet says. According to the word of God, there would be this taxing and there would be this coming forth from Bethlehem, this city of no account, the Son of God of great account and glory, God with us. So, prophecy is being fulfilled here. Wonder, the wonder of prophecy, the word of God is true. But now, we quickly go to this. This Christmas, won't you celebrate the wonder of His love? Won't you know the Savior on the first name basis, wonderful for His love? That's it. We sing that. Wonder of His love. Wonder of His love. Beautiful. Wonder of grace. Because look, when Jesus comes and there's this country He comes into, do you know what? And children, do you know what? It was very dark in that country. Very dark in that country, even the country of the people of God in Palestine. It's very dark. You know what? The Bible says it was very dark, and it was the darkness of sin. And God had been very quiet for a long time because the people had walked in darkness and they lived in darkness. It's very dark. And you know what? Another thing about this darkness of sin, there's a devil in the darkness, even as there is today. In your darkness, in my darkness, there's a devil always in the darkness. He's the prince of darkness. And he wants us to stumble around in our sin and to keep there and to avoid the light and to just go to Sears instead of to Bethlehem and to celebrate our giving and forget the giving of God. Understanding the wonder of His love, beloved, is understanding, gripping the truth, getting our arms around that this Son is born into our darkness. And if we would receive Him, we'd have to understand that His coming and giving, it's all of grace, free grace. Look at this. He's born. We didn't ask for Him to be born. God said He will be born. He's given. He's the child who's given. He's the one I give to you. I've determined He's going to be the one who reveals that this is love. Not that you love God, but that I love you. This is God coming down. This is what makes Christianity different from every other religion. Right here, Christmas. God comes down. You ever think about that? Have you heard the gospel? That's what the gospel is. God comes down to sin. Not we climb up. God comes down. Not He comes halfway, we go the other. No, God comes all the way down. Not God comes down and we kind of reach out. No, God comes down and picks us up. This is the wonder of grace. Free, unmerited favor of God. The people who sit in darkness, remember the darkness of sin and where there's a devil, they've seen a great light, one of the gospelers says. And there's this devil that's prowling around, this roaring lion, Peter says. Well, this one who's born is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And this lion of the tribe of Judah, the baby Jesus, has teeth, therefore, if I can say that reverently,
to eat up the lion and to spit him out and to kick him all the way to hell. Isn't that amazing? Meek and mild, Son of God to do battle. All for love's sake became he man. That's it.
Wonder of his love. The final thing, wonder of the glory of God. God is glorified in all of this. This is what people miss. Glory of man is celebrated and of the human spirit. And how nice we can be to each other. And did you notice? Maybe. Fewer people cut you off on the road the last few days. You didn't cut off as many people on the road. And you are nicer than all of us. What about the glory of God? That's here. And the angels' first words are, glory to God in the highest. And the whole multitude of the heavenly host, glory to God in the highest, and on peace, good will toward men. It's about God. It's about God. So we start with a wonder of Jesus who's God with us, and we end with a wonder of the glory of God. How about it, beloved? How about it, dear friends and visitors? Are we getting that about Christmas? Wonder of God with us. Wonder. Wonder. That's hard to do. I'd say impossible, really, to grasp the wonder. It's presented here in the Bible. This is the biblical account of it. It's the wonder birth. It's not just the birth of some guy, some cute baby, some outstanding prophet, but the birth of the Son of God incarnate. This is Christianity. But also Christianity is now you receive that. Remember what John would say. He came into his own and his own received him not. His own stumbled over the wonder. They stumbled over the wonder of the humiliation of the Son of God. It can't be. How can God be with us so wrapped in swaddling clothes? No room for him in the inn, and we weren't told about it. And as we'll see tonight, the theologians didn't get to hear about the birth of the child, but the shepherds. The theologians would have been divided, and they would have had a council or something and never got to Bethlehem, but the shepherds went. Well, beloved, how are we doing with that? The wonder of Christmas is that we actually survive, some of us, all the parties and all the rich food and all of the disappointments and all of the fighting that can go on in the house because I didn't get enough and all this stuff. The wonder is that any of us who are Christian really transcend the culture and receive the wonder. Now, beloved, I want to, in this second main point here, just point you to a way, the way God has ordained to receive the wonder. Now, we have an angel here, and then a multitude. That's what I'm going to talk about, first of all. This is how the message got to the shepherds. And again, we'll be speaking about that tonight, God willing. But here, let's just pause on that. The angel of the Lord came about these shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Angels are these spirit beings. Isn't that what the Bible says? They're these spirit beings. They don't have bodies like we do and feet like we do, and they don't have sin like we do either. And they're these beings that have been created, maybe on the first day, for all we know. And there's some hints at that. The Bible doesn't say in Genesis when the angels were created. But there are these beings who inhabit heaven. They give God the glory. They're sinless. Now, many of them rebelled, and the devil led this rebellion. But they're called devils. They're no longer sinless angels. But the good angels are the ones who remain in heaven as servants of God. And especially, Hebrews tells us, they're spirits, ministering spirits, sent forth from heaven to the heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1. And that's their role. They are sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. They even minister to Jesus in his weakness. But now they minister to certain ones, country shepherds, and to us today, of this thing that's come to pass, and of the glory of heaven that is now shining round about them, and that is to be revealed also in the little babe. Angel of the Lord. Now, children, do you think you would have been shaken in your boots? I hope so. I would have been shaken in my boots, because these angels, when they come from heaven, they come from the God of heaven, and there's a bit of this purity that exudes from them. That's what the picture we get of angels and their magnificence. It causes people to tremble because they're having to do with God Himself in those messengers of God. And anyone sensitive to his own sin and the unworthiness of himself will bow before an angel. Now, fools rush in where angels fear to tread, but wise men and women and children, if you were to fear God, you would fear his angels too. But be that as it may, the shepherds were told, "Fear not, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." That included them. Not all the best people, but all kinds of people. Well, that's how the angel met this. And these shepherds couldn't deny the power of God. They even said God had spoken to them. They praised God because God himself had spoken to the angels. They got it. The truth of the angels was the truth of God. Now, beloved, here's the question. How does that message of the angel so impress us that we are those who wonder with the shepherds and all of God's people? How is that? Well, I'll say this right away. We don't have angels like that right now. Don't expect, that is, we don't have them visiting us in our country out in the flocks abiding by night and so on. Don't look for that, beloved. Don't look for that. Notice, the angels came to the shepherds, not that they might glory in the angel, but they might glory in God and go right to Bethlehem. We don't want to look for an angel, we want to look for Bethlehem. More on that tonight. But guess what? And children, guess what? Even though we don't have angels with feet, angels with wings that we can see and expect to see, in order for us to understand the Christmas message and any message of God, nevertheless, we have angels, and the Bible calls them, ready, ministers. Ministers. Like yours truly. Now, I know, don't have wings, have feet, don't look like an angel. I don't think many of you are scared of me. But God appoints angels, and angel-like beings, who are messengers, that's really the idea of an angel, and servants, still today, in ministers. When John receives revelation of the seven churches in Asia Minor, he's said that they write to the angel of the churches, could very well be the ministers. Ministers today as well are given by the Lord Jesus in Ephesians 4, who first descended and then ascended. They're given for the building up of the body of Christ, the perfecting of the saints. And then just this, in Romans 10, we're reminded that the feet of the ministers are beautiful because they bring and preach the gospel of peace and the same message as the angels on that Christmas night, the glad tidings of good things. Romans 10, 15. So now, beloved, guess what we have here? Don't guess, just believe. There's an angel this morning. There is. And nothing to brag about. In fact, the great miracle of the fact that God's speaking through this angel is that I'm a sinner. And I haven't been to heaven. And I haven't been like the Apostle Paul, taken up into heaven. But there's one thing, beloved, that for a man of God on this earth, and it's a very comforting thing to know, and for you too. One thing that I have that an angel from heaven doesn't have. I have the experience of having been forgiven.
And I can say to you, beloved in Christ, friends and worshipers together with us, that this is real for me. And there is this living testimony of the Holy Spirit as I bring the Word of God that Jesus Christ is given for me. You see, angels, they can't be thrilled about that because they're never redeemed by the Son of God. They wonder at it all. But this minister and any minister worth his salt and really from heaven in a spiritual sense is one who's touched by this Son who's born personally. And so that's how God will work faith. And that's what I want to leave to you. How do you know the wonder? Faith in the truth. And the faith that comes by hearing the angel. That's all. See, a lot of people, maybe some of you are like this. I won't believe, except God just zapped me. Well, God could be in the zapping business, but God is in the preaching business. Last I knew, this is His way to communicate things. There's nothing fancy about it. You go into a church, got all kinds of programs, crutches, and the acting out of the Jesus birth. Well, beloved, not only is that unnecessary, but it approaches blasphemy. We are called to be those angels who would point to the real Jesus, not the one you see, but the one you believe. And blessed are those who have not seen but believe. And preaching them is this means whereby you can receive with your mind and your heart and believe and be transformed and taken to Bethlehem and indwelt with the Spirit and worked in so that you who are there, humbled about your sins, can receive the message, fear not. You who are there in your sins, even now perhaps, can be told by the angel, yours truly, you better fear God. You better repent. You see, the message comes in all kinds of forms. But one message. Good news for humble sinners. The awesome news of the presence of God and the wrath of God for all who reject the gospel of Christmas. Here's some fruits. And then I'll leave you. How do we know that we're real believers? How do you know? If you hear the message is first of all about joy, isn't it? Fear not, I bring you glad tidings of great, or good tidings of great joy. That's the first fruit of a wanderer. Someone who's getting the wonder. You're really happy today. Are you happy? Happy? Happy wanderers? Happy those who receive the wonder or getting it? Oh, of course, it's not happy that the Nintendo game is half off, or you got what you wanted, or there's family and there's friends and you finally get to see the grandkids. Where they've been, kind of thing. But happy in Jesus, see. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Good tidings of great joy. The thrill of hope, the wonder of forgiveness to me, sinner, the joy of not belonging to circumstance or sin or stuff, and therefore not unhappy when all of the stuff is taken away and the circumstances are bad and the sin has its ugly consequences, but happy in this abiding reality of the Savior. In this wonderful truth that He's mine and I'm His. He forgives. He knows what it's like.
He's come from me in my loneliness and lostness, and I believe. And He's never going to let me down. Well, joy. We could go on and on. Look at the angel, the multitude does. They praise God, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Certainly means that the second fruit is going to be our praising God. We rejoice in God and we praise God. If we be believers and understand this biblical message of Christmas, the wonder of it will work praise. The glory of it as well will cause us to go into the world and tell the world with praises of God in our lips that God is with us. God forgives sinners. So, joy in praise. And if the angels are saying on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, I believe, beloved, the angel is saying this peace and this goodwill toward men will be communicated by those who hear the message. So that one of the fruits of our wondering about Christmas in a good sense, not speculating, but really getting into the mystery of it all, will be that we actually are peacemakers in the true sense of peacemaking. We are actually those who have goodwill to the neighbor. We want them to be saved, to believe this wonder. We are urgent about calling them to the Savior and to Bethlehem and to church where the angel speaks. And there's this wonderful thing that happens, a communication from heaven through a mere man with ugly feet and all, whose feet are nevertheless beautiful, so that there is this redemption that occurs, and this believing, and this upbuilding of the body of Christ, and this joy all around, that we will do if we truly be of the wonder. And then, beloved, and finally, I leave you with this, but it's only going to be a little bit, because that's more for tonight. The key of understanding the wonder is that we really wonder. That we really adore. Like the shepherds. You know, they didn't give anything to Jesus, as far as we know. The wise men would later. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. And maybe you're not giving anything to the cause here or anywhere lately either. But one thing the shepherds gave, and one thing, the one and principal thing, which will be show our response that we're understanding Jesus on this first name basis, He's wonderful, is that we wonder. And we offer the wonder of our hearts to God in worship. We adore. And we say, Lord, here I am. I'm bowing. That's what it's about. And I think that the hymnist had it right when he even sang about this. I wonder, as I wander out under the sky, that Jesus the Savior would come for to die. I wonder that He'd come for ordinary people like you and like I. I wonder, as I wander out under the sky. Amen. Our Father, we pray to know the wonder of Bethlehem. Every one of us, Lord, we're so busy. We're so secular, time-bound. We're so stuck on man's humanity to men. And peace on earth at the expense of truth, and cuddly babes and Santa Clauses, and what we can give and receive from beings altogether like ourselves. Lord, we repent of that. The Christmas story is so much more. It's about wonder. Help us, Lord, we go out under the sky and behold the stars.
We have Bible in hand and in our memory to be wanderers, adorers, thrilled and in awe. And help us to give that to You, Lord, our awe, our adoration, our awe. Help us now, Lord, bless us as we go in peace, believing for Jesus' sake. Amen.